Hi, and welcome to Mouse Chat for Friday, August 5th, 2011. I'm Lisa, and joining me today are Bob, Chris, Steve, Lauren, and as a special guest joining us is Tim from dvcnews.com. Welcome, everyone.
Hello.
Hey, Lisa. Welcome, Tim.
Hello. Thank you.
You say that now. Today on our show, we're going to be talking about Disney Vacation Club and lots of aspects of that. No news or announcements on this show. We will have a couple of listener questions. And let's just jump right into this. Tim, this is your first time on mousechat.net, and you come to us from dvcnews.com. Why don't you tell us about that particular website?
I started dvcnews.com about 4 years ago as just sort of a place, I don't know, I don't want to step on Deb's toes, but sort of the all ears of the Disney Vacation Club world. Just a place that you can go and find out resort information and information about the program itself and whatever news is going on, resort refurbs, new rumors, things like that. Just sort of the one-stop shop for Disney Vacation Club news and information.
Yeah, it's nice. It's nice because you can go into the forums and post something if you're new to DVC or an existing DVC member, and pretty quickly you can get a response on a rumor or how to bank points or kind of anything and everything.
Yeah. There's a lot of longtime members who hang out there as well and love to answer questions and help people out with information.
Well, I think when it comes to anything Disney, there's no shortage of people wanting to talk about any particular topic.
Sure, absolutely.
So people are very passionate about their Disney and their DVC.
Right. That's right.
All right.
So Lisa and I are DVC members. We own a little bit of, just a handful of points over at Old Key West, and then we own a little larger amount of points over at Beach Club Villas. So we've been doing that probably 3 years. And then Chris is familiar with renting points and using those. And then Bob, I believe, is just trying right now to rent his first set of points and one day wants to try to maybe join DVC. And then Lauren's also kind of interested in DVC. So we kind of have the full gamut of everybody from around. But so I guess, what can you give us like a rundown of what DVC is and kind of a high level who, you know, might be the perfect candidate who goes to Disney that might want to check out DVC?
Well, should we talk about what DVC is first?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then we'll talk about candidates.
Okay. DVC is basically a timeshare. It's you know, calling it a club, it's just a fancy way of avoiding the T word, which a lot of people seem to bristle at. But it's a point-based timeshare system. So it's not the old traditional model where you buy a specific week every year at the same location and are pigeonholed into that one vacation pattern. With Disney Vacation Club, you buy a certain number of points and you get those points year after year. So if I own 300 points, I get 300 points to use every year. And DVC publishes charts showing what it costs to stay at each resort for in each unit size for each night of the year. So 1 year you could go for 2 weeks and stay in a studio villa, which is comparable in size and amenities to a traditional hotel room. The next year, if you want to bring some family along, you could spend a week at a completely different time of year. So it's a timeshare, but it's a very flexible timeshare that offers multiple destinations. And you know, you could stay in any room size, any resort, all subject to availability.
For us, I think it was a good fit because we went to Disney a couple times a year already. We like to experience the resort and not just the parks. And we saw the prices of the deluxe resorts at, you know, $300, $400 a night without a kitchen, without all the other amenities. Right. And so just looking at the quick math, you know, it was maybe $100 or $150 a night if I used, you know, $5 or if I consider the amount of the dues to stay at those resorts. So for us, I think it was a good fit. And we saved up some extra money to buy thing, the points outright, so we didn't have any finance charges or had to finance it. What other, I guess, instances are good for someone to look at getting into DVC?
Most of the resorts are theme park based destinations. There are six DVC resorts at Walt Disney World now, I believe. Plus, you've got the Grand Californian at Disneyland, Hilton Head Island in South Carolina, Vero Beach, Florida, and Aulani in Hawaii is opening in about a month. So it's very focused on the theme parks. I really think the best candidate is obviously somebody who enjoys the theme parks and wants to return there. If not year after year, then I'd say at least every other year. The flexibility of the DVC system does allow owners to bank and borrow points. And I don't want to start getting too technical, but in my example where I said if you have 300 points to use every year, owners have the flexibility of if they can't use those points in a particular year, they can roll them forward to the next year. So it's not mandatory that you go every year to still get the best value out of it. But with Disney Vacation Club's focus on the theme park resorts, I think you really have to have an appreciation for that and want to visit repeatedly. You know, the frequency is going to kind of depend on how much you own. You know, with DVC continuing to expand to non-park destinations like Aulani and Hawaii, I think it's becoming a better fit for people who may want to do, you know, this year we'll go to Walt Disney World, next year we'll go to Hawaii, the year after that we'll go out to Disneyland, the year after that we'll go to Hilton Head Island for a week or something like that. So it's getting to the point where it's a better program for people who don't want to go to the parks year after year, but that's still an integral part of it, obviously.
Yeah. Now, I know you can transfer or exchange vacations for Cruise Line and I believe it's RCI, but I don't know if it's, I guess if you have a lot of points and want to use it, but from what I always hear, it's not really a good value for what you've paid for your points to do it that way, that it's usually better to, like for Cruise Line example, to just book a deal when there is a deal than to trade your points. Do you find that to be true?
On a dollar for dollar basis, most people will probably tell you that, and what you're talking about is using points for Disney Cruise Line, and there's some other non-DVC native resorts that you can visit. You know, dollar for dollar, that's probably not the best value. But if you've already spent, you know, $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 on your points and really just want to pick up the phone call and get that cruise booked and be done with it, it's a viable option. But there are different ways of going about it that way. I'll put it this way. I wouldn't recommend that anybody necessarily buy points with the intention of using them toward a cruise year after year after year, or even every other year, every 3 years, because that's not going to return the same value for the money you're spending up front.
Mm-mm. Yeah. And if someone, I guess, wants to experience a DVC resort before actually buying it, I guess, well, you can view models while you're there at Disney right. World, or you could, you could either buy it you could go on a stay with cash, because sometimes that's mm-hmm. available if there's inventory. And I know, Chris, you've rented points before. How's that worked for you?
It's worked out really well.
How do you go about kind of renting them? Do you do them online?
Yeah, pretty much. There's a couple of places. One thing is I have someone who has too many DVC points, and she actually rents to me. And that's the one I use the most. But I've also rented from Disboards and from Mouse Owners, which is a really good website for DVC, I'm sure. You guys have heard of that. And you just have to check people out. And, you know, sometimes I've checked them out really thoroughly, and other times I've just sort of said, I'm going to trust. And, you know, I've never had a bad, you know, anything bad happen. Some people use points brokers. I don't like to use them. I think they drive the price up.
Well, Chris, the reason you say you have to check people out is because the owner actually controls the reservation. Correct?
Right. Right. So, the owner totally controls the reservation, but that's like, even if you deal with a points broker, there's no security to that, because and whether you're dealing directly with an owner or with a points broker, you know, the owner controls everything. So you have to have a lot of trust, and you have to check them out and make sure they actually own DVC. You can go ahead and get recommendations, use PayPal instead of a check, that kind of thing.
Yeah. So the risk, I guess, is that someone could say they booked it and not book it, and you've paid them. So you got to make sure you're working with someone.
And often, you know, the sort of hypothetical situation you hear is that people do book and you get your reservation right away, and then at some point they cancel it and then you're out of luck. Mm. I've never actually heard of that happening, and I follow, you know, like all the DVC rental boards pretty carefully. What I have heard of happening is people showing up and their dues aren't paid yet. The owner hasn't paid the dues for that year, and so they can't check in until the owner pays. So you're kind of out of luck there unless you're going to pay the owner's dues.
Wow, you could get kind of raked over the coals there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be an unpleasant surprise to show up and I can't, owe you.
Yeah, I'm just kind of thinking of all these things that could happen, and that just wouldn't be good.
Well, definitely don't do anything like Craigslist or eBay. Mm-mm. That's what you should definitely stay away from those.
You need to find someone that's respected in the DVC rental community and you know, who has successfully done it, which makes it hard for anyone who's trying to get in.
Yeah.
But that's the safest way to go.
Well, and you know, a lot of people go through brokers because brokers sort of, they have this sort of illusion of being safer. They're not any safer. They probably can check out who's an owner more easily than you can, but beyond that, you can't really verify it, you know.
Now, Tim, there's something at DVC where you get when you purchase DVC, you pick your home resort, or you can purchase a home resort if you get it through Disney or through a reseller. Is there any advantage to, you know, some people say get the home resort where you want to stay, and then some people are of the opinion, you know, get a home resort that has the cheapest amount of points and then try to trade around.
To take a step back, you know, every person who buys, you buy your points at a particular resort, and that's mm-hmm. considered your home resort. And the value of that is a couple of, or I should say the significance of that is a number of things. One, you get a 4-month booking advantage at your home resort. So if you own points at, say, the Bay Lake Tower at the Contemporary, you can book there up to 11 months from your arrival date. All other resorts, you can only book 7 months ahead. So with everything being first come, first served in terms of reservations, that can make a difference at times. So some people like the security of having a particular resort as their home, so they're virtually guaranteed to getting in. Your home resort determines how long you own. DVC does have end dates on the contract. You don't buy in and then own indefinitely. It's not something you're going to be passing down for generations and generations. The first wave of resorts expires and goes back to Disney in 2042. So that's only 31 years from now. And your home resort also determines how much you pay in annual dues. The annual dues are the operating costs of the resort. You're paying for cast member salaries and property taxes, and money's going into reserve accounts for new carpeting and new furniture down the road, and all those sorts of things. So, but the thing most people tend to focus on, I would say, is that reservation window. And that's really sort of the decision that each buyer needs to make. You know, do you want to buy are you willing to buy the cheapest option that's available, and sort of roll the dice as to what you're going to find available 7 months out? You know, when you can call and book resorts that aren't your home, some people are perfectly comfortable doing that and don't favor one resort or another to the point where their vacation is ruined based upon where they end up having to stay. And others are quite willing to pay the premium price to have that guarantee of calling 11 months out to the day and getting a reservation. So, but that's definitely a part of the decision-making process when you're going to buy.
Yeah, but I have to interject just a little bit that I don't think there is a bad resort. If you got stuck with something, mm-hmm. poor thing. You got stuck with, you know, Old Key West or something. I prefer Old Key West. It's bigger.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there really isn't a bad DVC resort. There, you know, Bay Lake Tower, of course, is popular because it's new and it's pretty cool. And but there is no bad DVC resort.
I guess the only thing is if you want to make sure that you're going to the parks, I wouldn't buy at Vero Beach or Wilderness Lodge and take the risk of being able to, you know, transfer to, you know, one of the other Disney World resorts every year.
You mean Vero Beach or Hilton Head?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you said Wilderness Lodge.
Oh, did I? I'm sorry. Or Hilton Head.
Okay. I was trying to figure that one out.
I would agree with that. I think, you know, a lot of people gravitate to the phrase buy where you want to stay, meaning, you know, mm-hmm. you should buy into the hotel the resort that you would most frequently want to stay at. I'd ease off on that a little bit. What I tend to say is don't buy where you don't want to stay. If you don't ever see yourself going to Hilton Head Island, then don't buy there. If you don't ever see yourself going to Vero or Old Key West, heaven forbid, not to step on anybody's toes. But, you know, anybody who's considering buying, you know, we all have our favorites and our rankings and sorts of things. Don't buy into a resort that you don't like, because your home resort is your fallback position. What a lot of members will do is they'll call 11 months out and book a room at their home resort, and then you can start requesting, you know, getting vacation time and looking at flight schedules and all that sort of thing. But then they'll call 7 months out and try to switch to another resort. Well, if you don't really want to stay at your home, you can't do that. So, you know, make sure you like the resort that and would be happy staying at the resort that you purchase. That's my advice.
I think a lot of things that people don't know is they think they have to buy through Disney, and some of them don't realize there are resellers until they start going to the internet and go onto sites like yours, and then they realize, oh, there's other ways to buy. Now, they recently did a change where resellers can't offer, I guess, the exact same package that the original owner purchased. So, I guess, what's the difference between, I guess, buying from Disney and buying from a reseller? And, you know, is there an advantage to using one or the other?
The change that occurred a few months ago is anybody who buys from a reseller from this point forward cannot use their points for what Disney calls the Concierge Collection, the Adventurer Collection, and the Disney Collection. What those consist of are the most noteworthy one is Disney Cruise Line. Members who purchase their points directly from DVC can use points to book a Disney cruise. People who buy resale from this point forward cannot do that, ever, by all appearances, unless Disney changes their policy. Resale buyers cannot use points for non-DVC Disney hotel stays. So to clarify, things like staying at the Polynesian. Someone who buys their points direct could, if they want to, use points to stay at the Polynesian Resort or at the Disneyland Hotel in California or at Tokyo Disneyland or at Disneyland Paris. People who buy resale cannot use points for those destinations. That also applies to Adventures by Disney, the travel itineraries that they market. And the Concierge Collection is a small selection of about a dozen non-Disney hotels throughout the U.S., like the Sagamore, and I believe that's in New York, and some other noteworthy ones. So that's not particularly of concern. Disney Cruise Line is the one that people tend to be real concerned about and use that as sort of a decision-making point.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the only limitations at this point. All of the booking windows, you know, the 11 months and the 7 months out for making reservations, those are the same regardless of whether you buy direct or resale. The annual dues are the same. Other perks and benefits. DVC members get some pretty nice discounts off of annual passes at this time. Those are available to everybody. It's really just those destinations that's the differentiating factor at this point.
Okay. And then, so if someone's looking, I guess, at going mostly to Disney World, Disneyland, the standard Disney DVC resorts, then maybe looking into resales for them if they aren't planning on using it for Disney Cruise Line. Because I know that the discounts I've seen at the resellers are pretty substantial compared to buying through Disney.
Right. And just to sort of explain that momentarily, when you're going through a resale, when you're going through a resale broker, basically what you're doing is buying somebody else's points. Somebody who probably bought direct from DVC, you know, 2, 3, 5, 10 years ago, and for whatever reason is not using those points anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So they're offering them up for sale. That's how they get to the resale brokers. The savings can be dramatic off of compared to DVC's own prices.
One thing is, I guess we touched on it a little bit. I mean, do you think it's better to pay for it all at once, Tim, or do you think it's better to maybe finance if you can't do that?
You know, a timeshare is it's a luxury purchase. It's a leisure purchase. It's not, it's not something you need to survive.
It's not a toss in the bucket.
Yeah. And you know, DVC, if you buy direct from them, they finance it. You know, they're pretty lenient with their approvals and you know, you put a few dollars down and sign a mortgage for 10 years and they start taking the money out of your bank account and you're all set. They'll make it look as easy as possible, but by the same token, you know, don't lose sight of the fact that that's, you know, you're committing to up to 50 years of paying for park tickets and, you know, flights or drives down to Florida.
And maintenance fees.
Fees.
Well, that is also true of a person buying it outright.
That's true. Yeah.
We got a little off topic there.
Right. You know, in terms of financing, the vast majority of the time, I wouldn't be a big fan of it. I do think if you really sat down and you had an individual who spent the last 10 years every year, you know, staying at a moderate resort and could comfortably afford that, and yet didn't have $15,000 sitting in the bank to pay for DVC outright, it would be tough to tell them that they should keep paying cash year after year after year for a moderate resort rather than financing DVC. Does that make sense?
Yeah, well, I it does, and it's something I've considered because, I mean, I'm local. I'm not far from Disney World. Mm-hmm. I'm like an hour and a half out, and, you know, my wife and I, we go regularly, and we could see ourselves continuing to do that for the next, you know, many, many years to come, every year or every other year, and spending a week, let's say. And, you know, you do see, and we tend to stay deluxe, and, you know, you see hotel or resort prices going up every single year.
Right.
And, you know, if you're going to be paying for those resorts and the price keeps going up, I mean, part of me says, well, why not just buy in, even if we have to finance?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's, I mean, if we're paying for a trip or paying every month for a DVC, you know, what's, you know, what's the difference? So I kind of, that's kind of what appeals to me. You know, at least I'll have this membership for, you know, many years.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, it's, you know, I hate to come down hard and say absolutely not, you know, that anybody who can't afford to pay outright shouldn't be buying. But, you know, obviously everybody needs to use sound judgment and look at their own budget. I would hate to see people, you know, getting themselves into a bind, obviously. But
I understand what you're saying. And yeah, I mean, I realize it's a luxury. It's not like food or, you know, a car payment, you know, a necessity.
Some people consider it just a necessity.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah, I mean, I you could argue that I consider it a necessity.
I absolutely consider it a necessity.
but no, that's good because that question I know comes up a lot and people do wonder about that. The other question I had, Tim, if I could pick your brain, was about, you know, the points. You have a set number of points that you could buy. Well, not a set number of points because I know you can always add on, but, you know, let's say you buy 300 points in a year. Those the point values to stay at the resorts, I mean, do they ever change or go up, if you understand what I'm saying? Like, could a week in a one bedroom at, you know, Bay Lake Tower cost 150 points 1 year, and then that same week, you know, the following year cost 180 points?
Yes, it could. There are some limitations to what can happen, though. The first is seasonal adjustments, and those happen every year. Depending upon when Easter falls and when Thanksgiving fall, those are the most noteworthy changes. The week before Easter and the week after Easter is always the most expensive season, the premier season. So whether Easter is in March or April or wherever it may fall, you know, that higher cost is going to move with it. And the days leading up to Thanksgiving are always the same season, you know, depending upon what the calendar days may be. So those are always going to change. Aside from that, what DVC has the ability to do is we call it reallocating points. And that's basically the whole basis of the point charts. You know, the reason that it costs more for a Sunday in January, or I'm sorry, it costs less for a Sunday in January than it does for a Sunday in July is because of demand. You know, the same reasons that cash resort stays are higher one day and lower the next. You know, they follow that pattern with DVC because they need to balance out the demand over the entire year. And periodically, DVC has the right to adjust the points a little bit too. They did it in 2009 and 2010, I believe. But what has to happen is for any increase that occurs, there must be a corresponding decrease. So you're not going to see overall inflation.
I didn't know that.
They aren't going to take they don't have the right to take the entire calendar and say, well, we're going to bump up every night by 2 points this year.
Okay.
They cannot do that. But they can adjust the points, and they went through sort of a two-year process of adjusting it. And for the most part, what they did was weekends used to cost about 2.5 times the number of points as a weekday night. And over a two-year period, DVC balanced that out to a large degree. Weekends still cost a little bit more, but not nearly as much as they did. So, you know, when this first happened, a lot of people who had bought with the intention of using points for Sunday to Thursday night stays suddenly found that they were paying more. But it was sort of a necessary move from the standpoint that the hotels, the timeshares were sitting empty on the weekends because people were, you know, either not coming
option.
Or, yeah, they either, you know, weren't coming in till Sunday, or they would stay at Pop Century for a couple nights and then move to the DVC. So,
essentially, if you buy in at one of the DVCs with the intention of spending a week every year or 2 weeks, you're going to be able to do that. You're going to continue to do the 1 week that you wanted to do for the most part.
Right.
You may have to adjust your time frame a little, your vacation dates, but you're in 20 years, you're going to be able to still use your original points and stay for 1 week.
Right. Hmm. That's
good.
That's a fair statement. Yeah. In rebalancing the point charts over those couple of years, the cost for an entire week stay for the most part did not change.
Okay.
There were some instances where, you know, a week might have gone up 2 points here and down 2 points there because of, you know, just because of the math of making it work.
Right. But essentially there's no inflation in the points that it's required to stay for a week.
I don't want to be misleading here. By law, what Disney has to do is make sure that let's take a two-bedroom villa. Whatever it costs right now in 2011 to spend an entire year in a two-bedroom villa, that year's cost can never change.
Yeah, so...
So the total points represented by a single room can't change as time goes on. That always has to remain the same. What they can do is change the number of points that it costs to spend on any given day throughout the year.
Yeah, so there's like, say there's 5,000 points in a month. They can take their points and move them around that calendar month, but they can't increase, they can't make it 6,000 points for the month.
They if you step back to a year, then you're right. If it would cost 20,000 points to stay an entire year in a two-bedroom villa, then it's also going to cost 20,000 points to spend that year in 2012, 2013, 2014. Yeah.
So they can't increase the amount that it cost. Yeah, like Tim was saying, they can't say, okay, now it's going to cost 2 more points for every night in the calendar year. They can say, okay, Sunday, instead of 15 points, we'll make it 13, and we'll use those 2 points on another day.
Exactly.
Right. So the price, yeah. So if you're buying in 160 points for $18,000, I mean, that's basically your investment minus, of course, your dues and, tickets and everything else.
Yeah, dues are, they're about under $6, basically, if you figure out each resort, somewhere in the high fives.
Somewhere as low as 4.
Per point.
Yes.
Per point per year.
Right. And those do go up a little bit each year.
Correct.
Okay, so that is something to consider.
If you want to draw an analogy, there's an upfront cost to buy into DVC, like we've been talking about. If you want to draw an analogy, that's like buying a house.
Right.
You're paying this upfront amount, or you're taking out a mortgage, or whatever the case may be, and you make your payments for it over however many years. Your dues are covering the operating costs. If you own a house, that's your lawn care and your electric bill and your property taxes and your insurance and all that. Roll all that up, and that's what the annual dues are on a timeshare on DVC. So you're paying cast member salaries and the landscaping crews and property taxes and bus transportation to the parks and all those sorts of things.
Sure.
So that's another area where Disney can't arbitrarily raise it. By law, that has to be tied to actual expenses. So they publish a budget every year and it gets audited and there are, state oversight committees and things like that. So, in general, as we all know, salaries go up, the cost of employee benefits go up. If you're paying DVC dues, you're paying for the health care of Disney cast members and retirement plans and all those sorts of things. Utility costs go up, fuel costs go up, gas prices. Those are all things that are rolled up in the dues. Over the last, at least since I've been an owner for 8 years, and at least over that time, the annual increases run about 2 to 3%. And that, seems to be what you see in the cost of your everyday household goods getting more expensive.
Okay.
Sounds like they run it pretty fairly.
Mm-hmm. Lisa, you want to go over kind of what you like about, just high level, what you like about DVC and the different room types, what comes in them? And
I would first like to explain my point of view on a DVC and my personal feelings on it.
Okay.
I've never been a fan of timeshares. I remember when DVC first came out, I thought, what a crock. And of course, it's so expensive and who's ever going to do this? DVC is going to fail. But I didn't understand the whole concept. Then you come along. I'm a vacationer. Prior to you, I was a vacationer who would totally do value resort the whole time. You told me that we really need to do DVC, and I was hesitant, but I'm like, fine, let's just do it. And so we did, and you kept trying to convince me that, you'd be paying $400 a night just to stay here, beach club. And I'm thinking to myself, no, I wouldn't be paying $400 a night because I wouldn't be staying at Beach Club. So you're telling me that it's this great deal, but you're looking at $2,800 on just your hotel, your resort room. I would never do that.
The story gets better, right? Is there a part where you say I'm right? Like coming up? I hope.
Don't hold your breath. So anyway, it's just not my style to, do the deluxe resorts. At least it wasn't. And, it just seems needless to, you need a room with a bed and a shower and you're good. But once you get a taste of the the deluxe life and the DVCs and the kitchen and the extra space and the laundry and all those extra things, you kind of get to like it, and you get spoiled. And knowing that, you know, we spent the money, it's gone, it's in this, I may as well enjoy it. Yeah, I really do enjoy, you know, staying at Beach Club. We usually get a one bedroom. It's nice. And I don't know that I could go back, but I still think, you know, I'm a Pop Century girl at heart, as far as a budget goes, because the idea of spending $400 a night kills me. I mean, I think we pay what, close to $1,000 in dues or something like that every year.
Yeah, like, so we pay about $1,000 in dues, and we do all types of different vacations. I mean, sometimes we go and we went for a week and we ate peanut butter and jelly sandwiches literally out of the back of the car at Downtown Disney with the trunk open. And that was like, I think we ate one meal out for the entire week.
We had one dinner planned. I'm sorry. We had one dinner planned at like Yachtsman's or something. And then we had one lunch that we ate in a park. Yeah. And it was a counter service.
And then we ate the every whole other week. Meal. Yeah. At our room.
Breakfast in the room, dinner in the room, and backpack lunch.
I mean, sometimes it's almost like a challenge, and we see, all right, how much can we do the vacation for and save? And then sometimes we'll go and get a really nice room and do the Disney dining plan and do it the other way.
Yeah, it's a compromise. But just to quickly wrap up my story, as exciting as it is, I have been converted. But I look at those annual dues, you know, we're paying $1,000. And to me, well, that would have paid for my whole resort stay. Plus, you know, we had this big investment up front. I'm like, what's the payoff here? But it is nice. And, you know, when they say welcome home, it really is a welcome home feeling. I love that. So I'm a convert. I love it. I'm glad we have it. And, you know, if Steve wanted to buy some more points, yeah, it wouldn't be too much of a problem for me.
Well, now the points, when I look at it, I see the points, and they're a lot cheaper through resale now because – and we would probably only use it for really the Disney DVC resorts anyways. So it doesn't, for us personally, it doesn't matter about the cruise line or
it's not a conflict
or any of the others. So now that those point values have gone down on some of those resales, it's kind of enticing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Tim, you were talking briefly about Alani. What have you heard about Alani, or are you excited about it? Do you think DVC members are excited about it? Do you think it'll sell out, or kind of what's the vibe?
Personally, I think it looks great. You know, Hawaii is a place that we've never given a lot of serious thought to as a destination until that resort came along. You know, now knowing that it's something that we can do using points that we already own is very appealing to us. I live in the Midwest. I've got some friends who live in California. It's hard for me to get any sense of how successful it's going to be from a sales standpoint. Disney did build, you know, they're building 500 villas out there, which is makes it a pretty sizable project. That it's, you know, in terms of number of rooms, it's bigger than Old Key West. You know, I don't know what their internal estimates are for selling, but, you know, talking to people in California, that's a real popular vacation destination for them. You know, there's going to be demand there. DVC opened a sales center in Japan. Hawaii is very popular with the Japanese. I hope it's successful, if for no other reason than it will encourage DVC to build elsewhere because, you know, we've been members for 8 years now and I really do enjoy our Disney resort stays, but seeing more variety in the program is something that pleases me as well. When we bought in, I had a son who was, 2.5 years old and a daughter who was 6 months old, and now they're 10 and 8. You know, as time goes on, it's appealing to us to have, you know, other places that we can go and enjoy as a family.
Well, that's a good lead into the rumor when we're talking about other DVCs. There's some rumors going on about a Grand Floridian DVC.
Well, it's probably going to be the latest best kept secret, I guess, unless they go ahead and announce it. It seems to be it's the old phrase, if it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, then it is a duck.
Well, it's so funny with Disney too, because they waited so long to announce Bay Lake Tower, even right. when you know the structure was probably 70% done and you right. know it was visible, and you would point to it and ask a cast member, you know, what is that? And they would say, what is what?
Yeah.
Like that
yeah,
building. Exactly. Like, I don't see anything. Like, you know.
Now, time-wise, the interesting, I'd say, you know, it's, I assume you're all familiar with the fact that there are a bunch of permits being filed and construction walls going up.
Yeah, we
that.
Saw we saw some pictures that the walls were going up, and then I saw a couple plans that we talked about a few months ago that it looked like they were going to do like a 5-story building or maybe even larger.
Yeah, the location is sort of between the Wedding Pavilion and the current Grand Floridian.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of the interesting thing about it is, you know, if you look at Disney historically with their construction projects, it takes them about 2.5 to 3 years to build a resort from the ground up. But what they've done, what they can do quicker and easier is convert existing rooms to villas, to DVC villas. And they did that a few years ago at the Animal Kingdom Lodge.
Mm-hmm.
And the timeline on that was it took them less than a year to do that, from the time they began to actually open it. So if you look at the big picture, the Bay Lake Tower has been their crown jewel for the last 3 years that they've been selling, and that's pretty much gone now. So if the unknown quantity at this point is if they are really going to convert Grand Floridian hotel rooms, existing hotel rooms, to villas, if they're going to do that, you know, they could announce that any time now and essentially be selling those come first of the year, if not sooner, to be honest, and have them open by next summer. And that could tide them over until this brand new shiny building opens in 2 or 3 years. So that's the unknown at this point, is whether they're going to do any conversions there. If they're just building new, then it's probably going to be, we'll be looking at 2014 maybe before it opens.
Yeah, that seems like a long time to wait. Mm-hmm. If Bay Lake Tower is almost sold out.
Okay, so we have a couple of listener questions, and they tie into our DVC theme. And Greg writes, "Hi guys, my wife and I began listening to your podcast recently and really enjoy it. We get lots of useful and entertaining information from it. Thank you. We are new DVC owners, December 2010, and are planning on taking a large family trip in 2012 with banked and borrowed points. When we listen to your discussions, we are always surprised to hear that none of you are DVC members and are curious to know why, as the research we did on DVC would suggest that the more you go, the more you are likely to get out of DVC, and it sounds like you are all going a lot. We also understand you are going to do a show on DVC and really looked forward to listening to it. Thanks, and keep up the great broadcasts. Greg." Okay, so Steve, what do you think on this? I mean, obviously, we just confirmed that we are DVC members, but...
Yeah, so we're DVC members, and like Lisa said, you know, she kind of did the value resorts, and I've done the value resorts too, just because sometimes we really like to, I mean, we kind of do different, all kinds of experiences. And then for us, it was just the savings that we saw and being able to go to some of the deluxe resorts on some of our vacations. But there's other ways to do it, like with Chris, with renting points, and then you're not getting into the upfront investment, and you can still kind of take advantage of free dining or other promotions that come out and kind of try it out for yourself and see if you like it.
And I mean, I would do it in a heartbeat if I, you know, if you know, if I didn't
unlimited
have a ton of
funds.
Student loans. Yes. If I had unlimited funds. Yeah.
Yeah, you have to figure out, like Tim was saying, if you want to finance or not, and if it's right for you, and if you think that fits into your budget. The other thing that's also nice, and I don't want you can do through Disney or through resale, but the one thing that's nice with resale, you know, and you have to read into what you're not getting with resale, is you don't have to buy a certain amount of points if you go with resale. If you go with Disney, and Tim, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's like 160 points that you have to buy.
160 used to be their minimum. I've heard of them going down to 100 more recently. But it's usually either 100 or 160 plus. If you buy direct, you can't say, I want 125, I want 150. It's either 100 flat or 160 plus. Over 160, they let you pick any amount you want.
Okay. And then I know if you buy resale, you can, if you know, it's basically whatever contracts that people are deciding to get out of Disney Vacation Club have. So you can pick something up for 25 points or 50 points or.
You know, one thought I did want to throw out there is you know, speaking to the subject of why don't people buy, I think one thing that people should be aware of is availability. Everything is truly first come, first served. And when you talk about those booking windows, you know, in 11 months, a lot of people are booking their home. And then when that 7-month window arrives, you've got, you know, 400,000 DVC members with equal access to whatever's left. So the more popular resorts and you know, villa views, you know, you've got Savannah View and Standard View and different room classes there. The more popular ones are going to get grabbed right away, you know, 6.5 to 7 months out. So one group that DVC doesn't necessarily work good for is people who can't plan that far out. If you've got people who like to take more spur of the moment trips, and not have to plan half a year in advance, they're not necessarily going to get their first or second or third choice of resort because those may already be fully booked. So that's one reason that DVC may not be a great fit for a group of people. People who have the flexibility to really follow the discount packages, the free dining, and the other offers that they have, those are still great ways to save money. And you know, if you have the flexibility to book just when those offers come out and really get some deep discounts there, then DVC may not be the best solution. With DVC, you're more locking in for the long term.
Okay. And I guess Greg kind of touched on this a little bit in his email question when he said, you know, the more you go, the more value you get out of it. Is there a break-even point? I mean, I know Disney talks about this when you do the DVC tour, and they say if you take this many trips, you know, you break even.
Mm-hmm. The conventional wisdom used to be that it was about sort of in the 7-year neighborhood that, you know, by the time you had owned for about 7 years, the amount that you would spend on your upfront DVC cost plus the dues that you paid till that point will about equal what you would pay for the same accommodations booking as a cash guest. And then going forward, you know, you're really only paying your dues, which essentially means you're vacationing for pennies on the dollar with DVC. Now, that used to be the conventional wisdom. I suspect these days, if you buy direct from DVC because of how their prices have gone up, it's more like 8 or 9 years. And if you buy resale, it could very well be 5 years. It's really just worth looking at depending upon how much you're paying per point.
So hopefully, Greg, that answered your question.
Okay. The next one is from Paul, and it says, "Hi, Lisa and the gang. We are DVC members from the UK, and we will be staying at Disney's Hilton Head Island third week of October. Can you tell me any useful tips for the area? We all love your show and haven't missed an episode. The dining episodes were very helpful. By the way, we love your accents as well. I remember you saying how much you like an English accent." Cool. Well, I still don't know what an English accent is, like an American accent. I just don't get that. But that's not the question. So Paul wants to know about Hilton Head. Anyone?
We tried to stay there, but we've just never managed to get out there yet. Tim, have you been out there, or what's the overall feel for
Hilton Head Island? I have never stayed in the DBC, at the DBC resort there. I was actually at a conference in Hilton Head just a few months ago and visited the resort. It's a great golf community. There's something like 25 different golf courses on the island. It's a very sort of closed community. There are a lot of bike paths. So a lot of people, you know, rent bikes to get around. The DBC resort is not on the ocean. It's not on the beach itself. It's more on a little, I don't know what you'd call it, a little inlet or something. It's really a charming little piece of property that they've got there, but it's, you know, it's not a location where you walk downstairs and you're on the beach. They do run a little shuttle bus over to the beach house and their little piece of beachfront property. But I think it's about a mile away. But you know, they've got the typical array of recreation. You know, there's a pool right at the resort. There's a community hall and different activity programs going on. I saw a horseshoe pit and different things going on there. So it's really a nice little community. Obviously no theme parks right there. But it looks like there's a lot to do if you're just sort of taking that kind of laid back, relaxed vacation.
And yeah, there is a lot. I actually got married in Bluffton, South Carolina, which is right next door to Hilton Head. Well, the first time I got married, I should say. there are a lot of things to do in the area. I mean, there's boat tours, there are nature tours, biking, like you said, golf is very popular out there. Bluffton has a historic district that they offer walking tours of. So, you know, if you don't want to stay necessarily, you know, tied down to the resort, you don't have to do that.
That's going to wrap it up for this week's show. Another thank you to Tim for joining us. Tim, thanks.
Oh, you're welcome. And your listeners are welcome to visit dbcnews.com. We've got a Twitter feed and a Facebook page and all that. And, you know, I get links to the latest stories and information. So if you are a DBC member or interested in becoming one, I'm sure you'll enjoy keeping tabs on what's going on in that particular corner of the Disney World.
Okay. And you're welcome to submit questions to us, or you can submit them to Tim through dvcnews.com. We're going to thank pixievacations.com for sponsoring the podcast. You can download our shows at mousechat.net and also from iTunes. Please send us your comments and questions to comments@mousechat.net. Join us again next week on Mousechat.